This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Wow, nice to hear the sounds of the 4th of July, sounds of fireworks, parades, all that kind of stuff. And, of course, a lot is being made about the president's celebration with tanks and military planes and all of that. And like everything else in this country, there's criticism and there's praise over the tanks, what it's costing, that whole kind of thing is not a surprise. And in weighing in on this, I think that the one thing that is not so good is, and I've checked with a few people on this, is the tanks and what they do to the sidewalk. So, and the National Park Service is diverting about $2.5 million for what was the big celebration. You saw the fireworks and all that kind of stuff and, whatnot. And there was flyovers, military bands, that whole kind of thing. You had Tom Udall, Democrat from New Mexico, who said this is beyond the pale. He's on the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on the Interior, Environment, and Related Agencies, and he says people pay for these entrance fees to make improvements in our national parks, not in this big show. And then you had other people that were also, tweeting out throughout the day support. So there you go. Like I said, like everything else in this country, it's either you and me, them and us, etc. And there's no one definitive agreement on, hey, this was a great thing, because so many people came out and were celebrating the U.S. or this was just a show of military might and why did we do this? One thing that wasn't controversial, or maybe it is for some people, is Joey Chestnut and the fact that this is a record that exists, hot dog eating. Is it a sport? There's controversy over that, right? And there's other sports, too, in the food world of inhaling large amounts of, copious amounts of food. But let me tell you first about the Nathan's hot dog eating contest at Coney Island. Thousands of people watch it. Thousands of people go now. So Joey Chestnut, legendary competitive eater, ready to defend the crown, did it, 11-time champ of the event, won last year's, downed lots and lots of hot dogs, did it again. So no surprise that he, constantly sets these records and is the guy who's the guy to beat most of the time, let's put it that way, because he's just so darn good at it. I mean, he's just that good at it. And how you become good at in eating, it's not like what you think, like, well, I like to eat, I could do it. No, it is a sport in a sense for what people have to do to their bodies to get it in shape for the kind of shape that you need in any kind of in a hot dog eating contest or any kind of competitive food. It's funny because I was looking at what other contests there were out of curiosity, and there's hard-boiled eggs, and Joey Chestnut did that many, many years ago. He ate 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes. Crazy 10-pound spaghetti and red sauce. Matt Stoney, somebody I had on the show, he did it in 8 minutes. You had 23.25-ounce pancakes that were eaten by Patrick Bertoletti. That happened back in 2012. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine? I had pancakes for the first time the other day with my friend Michael, and I could barely get through two big original Pancake House pancakes. That's just crazy. All right, crazy as well is what people in California, Southern California, would say a powerful earthquake, 6.4 magnitude. So it shook people up, and then there were aftershocks that could be felt too. 6.4 is pretty big. So there were some medical emergencies. There were people who shook up. There were some fires that were started as a result of it. And the United States Geological Survey said the quake was centered near Ridgecrest, and it's inland, Kern County, about 150 miles northeast of L.A. We have listeners in and around that area and have reported that they were safe, but it was scary, and it was scary that the, you know, how it was felt, how, you know, windows shake and buildings seem to roll, and it's a really rolling feeling, and it's the strongest quake to hit California in 20 years. So that shook some people up. There's no question about that, and luckily it wasn't worse because there's always that, and I mentioned this in the last hour if you didn't catch it, there's always that conversation. I lived in California, and when I was there, I was scared to death in the beginning because people would tell me, well, just make sure you're earthquake emergency prepared. And I would say, well, what does that mean? And, oh, just have water in your car and what, try to escape the earthquake. And then there was one, and I felt it, but not anything like people that would be near an epicenter would feel. And it was a really strange kind of rolling feeling when it hit, and that's what people are describing, that this was actually a little bit longer, you know, a longer feeling, and a real rolling kind of feeling. So, you know, there you go. Not great, right? When you're not expecting it, but that's exactly how earthquakes, you know, operate. No question about it. Hot dogs, hamburgers, which person are you? Maybe you don't even eat meat, so you're a vegetarian and you do something else like a black bean burger or whatever. But there's always that debate about hot dogs and hamburgers and the amount of hot dogs that get eaten, Joey Chestnut aside. And there was a story about this recent 10-state E. coli outbreak that had, you know, involved ground beef. So one of the things the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said a couple of weeks ago is when you had 209 people that got sick from March to May is to just take precautions when you've got ground beef. You know, make sure you cook it thoroughly, and how you handle it is important, and, you know, the food produced is not sterile, and I think people forget that. People want to cook raw food and prepare it at home. If you prepare it at home, you have to know, you know, how much you're heating it, etc., because there was that 62,000 pound of ground beef E. coli contamination recall that was just ahead of the Memorial Day holiday. So anyway, to avoid it, you know, you just have to be, you know, there are multiple things that you can do, and temperature certainly is one of them, and that's the biggest thing. Cook the internal temperature of at least 160 degrees Fahrenheit, and then steaks and roasts. I feel like I'm like on one of those shows where I'm telling you what to do. 145 degrees Fahrenheit, and there you go. Bada bing. A lot safer, and, you know, there's a chart for that. You can get it at the U.S. Agricultural Department. Just, you know, whatever search engine you have, go there, and then you can see the safe temperatures, and I'm all about that. It's like turkeys. It's been a while since I've done a turkey, but when I do a turkey, I'm very careful about what the temperature is there, because, you know, one, it has to be cooked all the way through, but for that same reason, that you don't want to do it where it's undercooked, and then of course everybody would get sick as a result of that. All right, stay through. Coming up next, we've got a quickie mailbag and some other thoughts as well, and I'll meet you there.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Can you imagine if Taco Bell ran out of tortillas? Wouldn't that affect burritos and quesadillas and the run for the border? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. We can count. It's all about the numbers. They're calling it the tortilla apocalypse. Yeah, the great shortage of 2019. They say there is supply shortages. They're trying to replenish the supply of tortillas so that they can pump out those burritos and quesadillas. But in a bunch of restaurants, that's why they're pushing other menu items like the cheesy Gordita Crunch, because they're affected by it. Oh, my gosh. That's insane, huh? And some of the locations, it's pretty bad. Like St. Louis, Missouri, they say. 13 of the 15 burritos on the menu were shaded out and had a note, item not available at your selected restaurant. My, oh, my. I never thought I'd see a day where you'd walk into a Taco Bell and you couldn't get what they're supposed to have on the menu. But they don't have them. So that's it. That's just, you can't make it up. That's what's going on. So if you're going to a Taco Bell, check to make sure that they have the item that you would like, because they might be have that same problem with the shortage because it's widespread. Let's put it that way. Widespread. Another one bites the dust, so to speak. speak, this is pretty interesting. Riverdale star Vanessa Morgan and White Sox pitcher Michael Kopech got engaged in a video. You can't make this stuff up either. So what happened is, on Wednesday, the actress posted an image to Instagram of her boyfriend getting down on one knee, and this was at the falls in the Grand Canyon. The proposal shot was beautiful, and then it said, "My forever," and this was a far away photo of him proposing with them both in bathing suits, and she posted an Instagram story featuring him with the text along it, too. So apparently the reaction was priceless. There was kind of these crazy clipped-together videos, and voila, the rest is history. And I thought, well, what's the big deal about this? And then I went and looked at the video. Ugh, no man can ever live up to this. Because you see these falls are coming down. I mean, just racing down. And he looks like Thor. He gets on one knee with this crazy just river flying down in their face and behind them. And that was it. And like I said, no man can live up to that image. So you have 96,000 plus people who were enthralled by this on Instagram. And you had the actress and the pitcher, as often happens with actors and with sports celebrities, they get together. So he's 23, she's 27, and that's there forever, as they say. And that's not a May December romance, by the way, just so you know. There's not enough years in between them, okay? So if you just tuned in, it's called We Can Count. We're talking about the numbers. I say everything is about numbers. And you just look at the numbers and you can see, because they're everywhere in everything that we talk about. For the most part, they are. I read a scary story about this. You know, summer is big for hot dogs. That's not scary. About 150 million francs are consumed. That's the number on 4th of July alone. And that's not just at Coney Island for the Nathan's famous contest that they have. But they say, a lot of doctors have been on television shows and quoted all over the place. They say a lot, a handful, where they're saying things like Dr. Tanya Altman says, the author of Baby and Toddler Basics, it's a good reminder that hot dogs can be serious choking hazards because of the size, the shape, the texture. It's dangerous for young kids. So before you hand a kid a dog, you have to be careful of how they're eating them. And they say that the American Academy of Pediatrics is saying that hot dogs should be kept away from children younger than 4 years old. And this is a serious thing where they end up in an emergency room. There's choking incidents because of the size of the hot dogs and then how they consume them. I'm thinking of my nephew. Did I ever give him? I was with him from really the time he was 1 to 4 for a big chunk of the time. I'm wondering if I ever gave him a hot dog. Luckily, he never choked on anything where I fed him, but I don't know that I really thought about that. The time. And so do you if you're driving around and you use gasoline, you don't have an electric car. They say the average national price of gas is at $2.73 a gallon, up 6 cents from a week earlier. Prices jump at least a nickel in nearly 25 states in the final week of June. The high, no surprise for regulars, $3.77. This is average in California. The low, Mississippi. We got people listening to us there. $2.34. So Independence Day means, of course, it's going to peak because people are traveling. There's so many cars on the road all different times throughout the weekend. And that's what happens. It spikes on purpose because what are you going to do? Ride a bike to where you're going. If you do have extra money, by the way, there is an island that is promoting the Fry Festival that is on sale for $11.8 million. They say it's, you know, the infamous Fry Festival, and it took place a couple of years ago. It was highly publicized because it was a music festival in the Bahamas, and it was put together by Fry Media. So it was co-founded by rapper Ja Rule and also tech wizard Billy McFarland. And, you know, if you remember, they kind of got smashed for not delivering what people thought they were going to get. But this private island, Saddleback K, was used in the video for the festival. And, of course, there were supermodels and all kinds of people there. And it's a 35-acre island that's up for sale. Up for sale. $11.8 million. Have your own island for that. And how do you get to that island? You'd have to have your own plane. Can you imagine? Now, tickets to the Fry Festival, just worth kind of throwing back to that. They were sold at up to $49,000 a person. The most expensive passes, round-trip flights from Miami, high-profile artists and backstage access, dinner with a performer, blah, 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 luxury experience, that kind of stuff. But what happened was, you had band cancellations, their bathrooms didn't work, so it was a disaster, actually, a huge disaster. And McFarland was sentenced to 6 years in prison for fraud in order to surrender $26 million. Yeah, so this was serious stuff when that happened. But now there's an island that you can have, and you can remember, you know, it's infamous. You can tell your friends, I have the money, I'm buying this island, because the island was pretty cool. There's just not very much, you know, on it. Well, we'll just put it that way. Have you done the bottle cap challenge? If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go into your search engine and look for it. A lot of people are doing it, and it just kind of started up. It began with this designer challenging Errolson Hugh and UFC heavyweight champion Max Holloway challenging singer John Mayer over the weekend. So they did this thing where it's about kicking and unscrewing a capped bottle when you smash your foot up against the bottle. And watching people do this is the craziest thing. Watching John Mayer trying to do it, and Jason Statham tried to do it, and he did it pretty good, slow motion. He had like a crazy amount of people that looked at his bottle cap thing on Instagram. And so now everybody is trying this thing where you kick it and it, you know, it comes off. And it's the latest viral trend is on the heels of the Shell On Challenge, which you had teenagers eating banana peels, candy wrappers, and that kind of stuff in April. So, yeah, I mean, go figure. If you're good at lifting your leg and kicking, maybe you take the challenge and then you post it. You get a bunch of people following you on Instagram. I might try it. I don't think I'd be good at it. I don't think so. Stay with us, everyone.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
US USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
New information this hour about the earthquake in California. USA Radio's John Clemens reports.
There were no injuries from the earthquake, but several aftershocks have been reported. I spoke to Yana Persley of the U.S. Geological Survey.
The magnitude 6.4 earthquake happened about 7.5 miles southwest of Silas Valley, California. The closest population center is city of Ridgecrest, population about 28,000 people.
A red, white, and blue patriotic celebration in our nation's capital. President Trump addressing the country during the 4th of July event.
In August of 1790, by request of George Washington and Alexander Hamilton, Congress established a fleet of 10 swift vessels to defend our shores. These revenue cutters would fight pirates, stop smugglers, and safeguard our borders.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715. That's 1-800-370-2715.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story. But freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
What a pleasure to be joined by Anton Gunn, who, boy, we have people in common, Greg. I was so psyched when I brushed up to him at the Authority Summit in Charleston.
Brushed up? Like, were there spilled drinks in this brush or, I mean, that's so visual.
I was right near him at a dinner, and people know me that are listening to this, and somebody introduced us, and all of a sudden I realized he's a member of the National Speakers Association, and I'm the president of the National Speakers Association in Dallas, and we knew a lot of mutual people.
Anton is, his company is the president, well, you are the presidential leadership specialist.
That's what I am.
Kate is a president.
She is.
Yes.
And I can definitely specialize in helping her to be a better president.
So you can add her to the list of presidents that you have had a close working relationship with.
Yes, I can add her.
Tell us about some of the presidents you've worked with.
Okay, so I'll start backwards and go forwards.
Okay.
So the first encounter as a 17-year-old, I was able to meet Vice President Dan Quayle at an event in Norfolk, Virginia, and I was a 17-year-old. I won't tell the long story, but it involves the Secret Service and not a good way.
Ooh.
And me.
Ooh.
And I learned a valuable lesson from George Herbert Walker Bush and Dan Quayle.
Literally,
as
like
a
from them,
yes.
Like they taught you a lesson.
Well, the Secret Service that works for them taught me a lesson.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
But I learned a lot. The context for me was about.
Okay, what did you do?
I'm not going to not ask. What did you do?
Okay, so the long story short, my dad was a Navy veteran. I come from a long family of military men. And my father was in the Navy. He went to Desert Storm while I was 17 years old. I was being recruited by every college in the country to play football, and I wanted my dad to go on my visits with me as I made my decision where I was going to school. But he went to war. And when he went to war, George Herbert Walker Bush sent Dan Quayle around the country to do speeches to tell family members to support their loved ones during the war. And so he says he's coming to Norfolk, Virginia. He's going to give this great speech about why we needed to stop Saddam Hussein and why it was important for my dad and his ship to go be a part of the campaign to protect Kuwait. But I didn't care about any of that because I'm 17. Okay?
And he's your dad.
And he's my dad.
Come
he's
on,
my dad.
He's
I want to play football.
And you're going to play football.
That's right. That's all I cared about. So he gets there. And he's walking in, getting ready to go up on stage.
He is Dan Quayle.
Yes, Dan Quayle. And so a reporter says to me, what are you here for? I said, because my dad's on the ship. And she says, well, don't you wonder why President Bush is not here? I says, yeah, I do wonder why President Bush is not here. He's the one that made the decision. He's the executive that made the decision to send our troops to war. He should be here. And the reporter says, well, don't you think it's really funny that he sent Dan Quayle? I was like, no, he's the vice president. He's the second best. He's the number two leader of our nation. She said, but he was a draft dodger during Vietnam, and he didn't go to war. And I said, say what? And she says, yeah. And so I'm this 17-year-old kid, happy that my dad's going to war.
I'm afraid now.
Yes, you should be. 17-year-old kid. I'm 6'5". I'm 225 pounds. Hearing Dan Quayle give this speech about supporting the troops and why we should go to war, and I felt like he was a hypocrite, that he wants my dad to go and serve, but he couldn't serve. So I'm getting more and more angry. And I'm a hip-hop kid, so I got Public Enemy playing in the back of my mind. Right? I'm ready to do something. So he finishes his speech. He comes down the stairs, and he does what all presidential leaders do. He walks the rope line, and he's shaking hands.
Tell me you didn't tackle
so
him.
I said,
tell me you didn't tackle him.
It's close.
Okay.
So I said, I want to give him a piece of my mind. I don't appreciate the lack of authenticity of you not going to war but wanting my dad to go. So as he's walking down the rope line, I use my 6'5 frame and elbows to move my way up into the rope line. And I'm standing there, and when he comes by, I'm going to shake his hand and tell him how important my dad is to me. And he gets to me, and he holds out his hand, and I shake his hand. But like typical politicians on the rope line, he's not looking at me. He's talking to somebody else. So he's giving them all the attention. He's not paying me any attention. And so I'm getting frustrated that he's talking to somebody else and not talking to me. But I'm holding his hand. So I squeeze his hand, and I snatched his arm, and I screamed at him, I want my... And before I could get the third word out of my mouth, I got tackled by two Secret Service agents who drugged me out of the room and put me in the car. And they found out that I was just an angry 17-year-old kid who wanted his dad to be with him on his recruiting visits, and they let me go. But the lesson that I teach with that is that as a leader, if you lead an organization, you should always show up. Never send a substitute to deliver difficult news to the people that you lead.
Yep.
And so that's the first principle that I teach for any leader in any organization, that when it comes to making difficult decisions, you got to make them, and you should show up to deliver the news. Never send a surrogate. The second lesson is always be careful of the press in the media, because that reporter hyped me up and made me make a bad decision that really could have ended up in a worse place for me.
Right. So did this story end up being in the media?
Not at all.
So that reporter totally failed.
Yes.
She hyped you up and didn't even get the scoop. What a loser.
Yes.
Who was that?
Yeah.
That's better for him than
it was. I would not be doing the things that I was doing today had that gone the other way.
You know what other lesson I take away from this? And then we're going to move on to your other presidents.
Sure.
My other lesson is do not mess with Anton Yelchin.
That's a good mess.
Look at his guns. And you know what?
I got big guns.
He shakes his hand much nicer now.
Yes.
He said that. When he talked about he wanted to play football, Greg, what you don't know, but I know, is you cannot believe, I know we're going to go through presidents, you can't believe the people he played football with that have peppered different rosters in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah,
and he played for South Carolina.
Wow.
So, yes, a lot of Gamecocks in the NFL, played with a lot of great guys. And a beautiful experience. experience. And so I made the decision after that event, went to South Carolina to play football. And my second president, of course, is William Jefferson Clinton. And it's an unfortunate experience of how I got to meet him on October 20th, 2000. 8 days before October 20th, my younger brother, Sharon, who joined the Navy just like my father did, was killed in a terrorist attack aboard the USS Cole on October 12, 2000. And that devastated me. It devastated my family. I was angry. I had all kinds of questions about what was going on in the world. Because remember, this is before 9/11. This is before all of that. And so most of us didn't know who Al-Qaeda was or Osama bin Laden. It was like peaceful. The only thing bad that happened in 2000 was Y2K. And everybody was worried about their computers not working. Yes. But otherwise, it was a great year. But my brother was killed on a Thursday morning at 11:18 a.m. in Yemen on the other side of the world. And my life and my family was devastated. And we had no answers. And we were very angry. I was yelling at a lot of military officers about how could something like this happen? The ship is a billion-dollar ship with all kinds of weaponry on it. How do you let two men in a skiff pull up beside a boat and blow a 40-by-40-foot hole to kill my brother and 16 of his shipmates and injure 39? I didn't understand. I was very angry. And I was demanding answers. And none of the leaders there could give me answers. The Admiral of the United States Navy couldn't give answers. The captains and commanders couldn't give answers. And we were brought to a hall in Norfolk, Virginia, where I grew up. And we were put in this room, and they told us to stay here. You're going to get some answers. And I was like, well, I want some answers, and I want them now.
How old are you?
I'm, at this time, 27 years old.
Oh, so you're even beyond college.
Yeah, beyond college. Okay. I'm out of college. And in walks the door is Bill Clinton. As president of the United States. And what I didn't know, he was in Egypt 16 hours before trying to negotiate peace between Palestine and Israel, some accord that they were trying to put together. And he got on a plane and flew 16 hours straight from Egypt to Norfolk, Virginia, and came right in, bloodshot eyes, walked in and says, I want to answer all of your questions about what happened. And the lesson that I took away from that is that a leader always shows up when the people are in need. And he showed up for me, and he stood there with me and my mom and my brothers, and he talked to us for 20 minutes. He wanted to know who my brother was. He wanted to know what was his name, what did he enjoy, what was his favorite things. And he stayed there. He brought not only himself, but the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Hugh Shelton. He brought Janet Reno, the attorney general, to say that we're going to investigate and track down these terrorists and solve the problem. They were there with me. And so I took the principle away, is that whatever crisis happens in your organization, the leader needs to be there. So if you run a hospital and, you know, there's a tornado that runs through town, you got to be there for your staff. If your staff has to be there to triage and save lives, you need to be there to triage and save lives, the people who work in the organization. And that's the second president. And it was from that time, at the end of his presidency, that my life was completely different because of this terrorist attack. It really showed me some things that I wasn't aware of before about our government and about the world and all kinds of things. And Bill Clinton left office a month later, really 3 months later after that attack. And we didn't have the terrorists. We didn't have Osama bin Laden. We didn't know where he was. And so our family wanted more answers. And we wanted leaders to be authentic, to be accountable, and to engage us to find a solution. But the next administration, George W. Bush, made a decision that they weren't going to engage with us. And so for 11 months after the Cole attack, we couldn't get a return phone call from any leader in his administration. And it made us angry, made us sad. And we all know what happened 11 months later. And it's because we didn't finish the job. We didn't investigate what happened with the USS Cole. And all of these leaders at the Justice Department will tell you in every book that is written now, had we investigated the USS Cole,
we would have known.
We would have mitigated some of 9/11. Not stopped it, maybe, but we would have known more than what we know.
Right.
And so the lesson I take away from that is that no matter whether you were in the job before or not, a leader always finishes the job.
Hmm.
Bill Clinton should have finished the job, and George Bush should have finished the job. And for 8 years, my family never, ever got the opportunity to talk to the president about what happened on the USS Cole for 8 years, just kind of left us to the wolves, if you will. But what I learned from that is a lesson of how I should be as a leader. And as a leader, you have to be the person who not only serves but empowers and does your part to leave a legacy that's focused on people.
Thank you, Anton Gunn. Tomorrow we look forward to talking to him about working in the Obama administration. That's Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Pleasure to welcome to this show James Beck. He's written a book called Flight of the Valkyrie, and he's got such an interesting background. He's an oncologist, too, and this is his first book, and it's a fascinating book, and he obviously has a fascination with the military for many, many reasons. We had a chance to catch up off the air, and I'm so pleased to introduce you to him. James, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Kate.
So tell us what made you decide you were going to write this book.
Well, there are several reasons and factors involved. One, from an early age, I heard my father talk about World War II. He was a Marine in the Pacific, basically missed only two of the battles, Iwo Jima and Okinawa, because he developed malaria. But he instilled a deep sense of history, and he told me about the raiders and a few other commando actions in the Pacific that you hardly ever hear about. And so not only did I develop an interest in military history, but also special warfare and intelligence warfare. As you know from my biography, I spent 25 years in the Army National Guard, retired as a colonel. That kept my interest involved. And then what led to this book more directly a group of my friends who are professionals would meet on a regular basis, and we all had interest in military history, and we sometimes discussed alternative history or realistic alternative history. And I'll give you an example of things we discussed so you can see where we're coming from.
Great.
Some of the what ifs, if in 1940 Hitler had gone across the channel right after the fall of France instead of dilly-dallying around, letting the Luftwaffe try to finish England off. What if Spain had come over and let the Germans take Gibraltar? Or let's say at Pearl Harbor, Admiral Nagumo had done what he was supposed to have done, launched a third strike and knocked our oil facilities out. Those would have had profound influences on the war effort. What I wrote about is a special operation which, had the Germans been successful in such a black ops operation, could have changed things in so many ways. And so that, in a nutshell, is how I arrived at Flight of the Valkyrie.
Yeah, so when you do this research, you get together with your friends. I love the what-ifs. You're absolutely right. And the Flight of the Valkyrie, as you take us through that, what was that like writing that, especially after you had gotten together with your friends and you'd been talking about those what-ifs for so long?
It was quite fun. It did take some time. Being a busy physician, I had to set the goal of writing one page a day. And that's how the book was able to get written. I knew most of the material, but if you're going to make this believable, readable, you do need to watch your details. You know, I didn't want to put in there the Russian tank. You know, is it a T-34? Is it a Joseph Stalin 1? Or is it a KV-1 or KV-2? Because I think that shows that you know what you're talking about. And so I tried to pay attention to those details and also the dates. The dates pretty well jive up with history. You know, Germans surrendered on May 7th. You don't make it May 9th or 10th. And the same thing with the dropping of the atomic bombs. So I wanted to pay attention to detail, and that's what took probably a lot of my time outside of writing, was just going back, looking at books. And keep in mind, I wrote this before most of the information was even on the internet. I used some of my sources that I had in it, intelligence to gather some details. So,
so how fun. Yeah, so how fun for you. As somebody who liked doing the research, you were interested, you were a colonel, you mentioned the 25 years, you know, doing the National Guard, etc. And so for you, that just had to be pure joy, I would think, actually getting into this, right?
Well, it made the book, once you knew the timeline, you knew about these events, the tricky thing was tying it all together and going back from place to place, but you know, between what Himmler was doing, what the individual German commandos were doing, what a German mole in Moscow was doing, and making sure that you know, that your dates weren't off. Most of the meetings that I described actually took place. The only thing that is fictional that I know of is the mission that I've made up for these German commandos. And because the Germans did have these men who were trained to operate behind enemy lines and enemy uniform. For example, the little coup that the Germans pulled in the Russian city of Maykop actually happened. Adrian von Teckersen was an actual person, and he did pull that little stunt off. And that was to help set the tone for the rest of the book.
Wow. And so, yeah, and I think people don't realize that. And I think people reading that obviously get even a different sense of history. And in watching, I mean, you know, in looking at this, it takes you back in history. And, of course, we've seen that now even on television, there are some series that could be very relatable to your book. So you might have been ahead of the curve in a way. Do you think that, Doc?
Well, yes, well, the German commandos themselves were, you know, we're doing a lot of the same things that they were doing back in the 40s, and they were actually the ones who pioneered a lot of this. The British commandos are probably the best well known, followed by the United States Rangers. The Germans probably actually started it, and there was no doubt about their effectiveness. There were some questions on the German side among their old officer corps whether this was really kosher to wear the enemy's uniform, but there was no doubt about their effectiveness.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you hope, and again, we're talking to a very busy oncologist, by the way, James Beck, and he's written this cool book called Flight of the Valkyrie, and that's what we're talking about. We're taking you back in history. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
That things are not always as they seem. I think we're seeing that today in politics, and unfortunately that has very real implications in so many ways. Remember, Clausewitz said that war is an extension of politics by other means. And, you know, I can remember back in the 90s when Berlin fell, the Soviet Union fell, he was thinking this was going to be a safer place finally. And now here on the eve of 2020, it doesn't seem any safer. It's like, why can't we go back to the Cold War? You know, you had lines and divisions that were kind of demarcated. That does not exist in today's geopolitical world.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you talked about with your friends the what ifs, and so it's kind of like the what ifs. You wonder if the what ifs had happened, what it would be like. And you're right about those geopolitical lines, and it's very I call them squishy lines now, and we talk about that on the show. And that plays into Flight of the Valkyrie. And, of course, we're talking to Dr. James Beck. And what's it like, you know, you're an author. So what's next for you?
Everyone who has read the book would like to see a sequel, which I would like to do. Because there is a question about the atomic bombs in Korea. Was that real? Did they actually make them? I had always thought that was just in never land. You know, someone just wanted to try to make the thing by themselves by claiming that until former member of the NSA and CIA gave me a book with information on that, Japan Secret War. And so I do want to address that because, as you realize, the survivors of the main figure, Schreiber, and his men, of course, would be perfect, as you read in the ending. Completely deniable, expendable, but also very capable. If anyone's going to pull anything off like that, it's going to be them because they understand the Russians. So that's one of my projects. The other thing I do want to do is a book on my father's experiences. It would have to be fiction, and I'm going back and, you know, looking at dates, trying to get things right, because when he told me his stories, he didn't tell me where everything occurred at.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.